marathon before. I know that some of you are pretty hardcore endurance sports kind of people. Did you know that your body burns glycogen, a form of sugar, for energy? And did you also know that your body actually only stores up enough glycogen to run for about 18 to 20 miles? But a marathon is how many miles? 26. So, once your body starts to run low on glycogen, it starts to use the stored fat in your body, which sounds great to me. But the problem is that fat doesn't burn quite as easily as glycogen. So when that happens, runners experience a very dramatic drop in their energy level, a fatigue that we often call hitting the wall. Now, we can experience that not just in a physical sense, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We often describe that as feeling run down. It's caused by the continuous and cumulative erosion of circumstances that suck the life out of you. So we bottom out in exhaustion of our hearts, our minds, and even our souls. Then Resurrection Day comes, Easter Sunday, just like this, and it reminds us that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that there is hope for those who are bold enough and humble enough to trust Him. And so if you have a Bible, you want to turn in it to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And for those of you who haven't been with us as our church for the last year, chapters 1 through 39 are all about God challenging His people, do you trust me to save you? Who do you trust to save you? Do you trust your circumstances, yourself, other people, or God? And unfortunately, through the first 39 chapters, the people kept choosing anyone and anything else other than God, but those are all poor substitutes. So it's not a surprise when they turn to Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, to be Lord and Savior, and Babylon turns around and says, we will be your Lord and conqueror. And in the end, they will exile the best and brightest from the people of Judah, taking away their hope and their future. But then chapter 40 hits and it rises like the dawn, a message of hope and comfort. In verses 1 through 5, it tells us that God tells us a time is coming when wars will end, when sins will be forgiven, when valleys of despair will be lifted, and mountains of pride will be laid low, for God is coming to us. Prepare the way. Verses 6 through 26 proclaims that He's loving like a shepherd. He's mighty as creator. He rules and reigns as sovereign, that He is good and faithful, and we can trust Him. And so as we land here in verse 27, where we're going to read from today, perhaps we'll be able to find some help and hope for rundown people just like us. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Let's stop right there for a moment. I know that's right in the middle of a spot, but I want to pick us up what's happening here. Verse 27, God's people, he says, are going to feel at some point so run down from being in captivity to Babylon that they're going to wonder aloud, is God aware? Does he care? You ever feel like that? That you're so run down by life that you start to question, if God sees me, is God paying attention to me? Has he turned his back on me? And you may not feel that at this exact moment, but verse 30 reminds us that even when you were young, in your younger days, when your mind and your body were undamaged and unstoppable, when life and your future was full of promise and potential, the reality is, even in those days, there were times that you grew tired and faint, weary. You felt run down. And so the Word of God makes clear that no matter the number of years or tears or fears that you have under your belt, that everybody gets run down by life at some point. And you know how that feels when the weight of our ongoing anxieties and responsibilities rise like a wave, but we're barely keeping our head above the water. So I want to ask you, where do you feel run down by life this morning? And I want to suggest that there are potentially three areas that we need to take an honest look at for ourselves. The first is that we oftentimes are mentally run down by stress. That means like sometimes we face major crises. Sometimes it's simply the constant pressure of everyday life. There's a reason why we call it the daily grind. Because it's not like you're destroyed all of a sudden, but you're ground down a little bit at a time. Till you get worn out and worn down. Till you lay down and give up. Some of you wrestle with long-term illness or providing long-term care. Some of you are parents trying to pay the bills and raise your kids. Some of you are students coping with unending frustrations and expectations. In the face of mounting deadlines and demands, you are overworked and overwhelmed and you feel hopeless and helpless, run down. Some of us, we come this morning and we're relationally run down. Relational pain is the kind that chips away at the deepest part of our soul. Some of you are single and wish you were married. Some of you are married and wish you were single because you thought that marriage would solve all of your loneliness problems in life, but you forgot that you bring all this baggage into that relationship. Then you blame the other person for your messed up expectations and issues. Some of you wish to start a family. Some of you wish that you could get along with the family you already have. And some of you are utterly alone, even in the midst of a crowded room. Some of you, your friendships are crumbling to dust between your fingers, and it's dreadful and draining. You feel run down. Now, in the face of these kind of things, we may conclude that it's just a matter of determination and discipline to endure the stress, so all we have to do is grit our teeth and suck it up, walk it off, rub some dirt on it, till the next time it happens, or the time after that. Or why does it keep coming? When does it end? And there comes a moment when all of us are so run down, we run away. We give up and we give in to our escapes. And so some of us, the way we deal with all the stress and pressure is that we binge Netflix or binge your games, you're glued to your phone or to your fantasy team. You pour your attention and devotion into pleasures and leisures. Or your distractions eventually turn into darker things. And secret addictions. And the thought is, I might as well enjoy life because of all this stress and pressure. I deserve a break, even from Jesus. But in the end, we end up spiritually run down by sin. You see, in Isaiah, the people, they turned away from God, and it did not work out well for them. They're suffering as a direct result of their own sin. Some of us are like that. We've wrecked our life. You've wrapped it around the metaphorical telephone pole. You did it to yourself. And so you're crippled spiritually coming out of that wreck, and now you limp in life and you limp away from Jesus. And you fill that void by filling it, feeding your appetites and addictions. But you've paid a very high price. You felt the sting of its overpromise and its underdeliverance. And you're tired of the guilt. You're tired of the toll it takes on you. You're run down. Because you see, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but you always have to wake up to the reality of the morning after. Many of you have been running so hard and so fast for so long. And if you're tired of living this way, constantly left exhausted and empty and unsatisfied, today is your morning after. Today is a new sunrise, the dawn of a better day for you. And so in verse 28, God responds to the cries of people. And he says, don't you remember who you can turn to? That I'm not just an abstract concept or a religious crutch for people or a figment of your imagination. It says in verse 28 that he's everlasting. That he's not surprised by our situations and our circumstances. Or what's going on in your throughout history or with you personally. He doesn't suffer setbacks in our sorrows or for our tomorrows. He is yesterday, today, and forever. They're all under his watch and his control. They are in his plans and in his hands. Secondly, that he's creator. That means that he's not just a little bit smarter or stronger than you and me. That even the smartest person on the planet was fashioned by his hands and can't fathom what he understands. Nothing has power to thwart him because everything was made by him. And because he's eternal creator, he never grows tired or weary. That means that his energy and attention are unlimited. He overflows as a vast source of power available for others. And what we know about the Bible is like Father, like Son. as the risen Savior at the right hand of his Father, Jesus is the mighty God who never gets run down. And with an empty tomb, he declared, not even death itself could keep him down. Verse 29 tells us that the same God who does not grow faint or weary gives power to those who are weary and faint. So the question is, of course, how does that happen? Let's look at that last verse, verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Amen. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That's the key. If there's nothing else you pay attention to, look at that verse. What does that mean? I want you to think about what it means to wait on someone. When you wait for someone else, then you're in a position of dependence on them. You're depending on their timing to show up. It means that you're willing to allow them to decide the terms when you are the one waiting. And so it requires some humility on our part. It requires us to depend on that other person. But also is a position of confidence. Because we have faith and trust that person will show up, and so we have hope and anticipation and expectation that the sovereign Savior is coming for me, and based on who he is, as everlasting, as creator, as one who's never tired or weary, that I trust the creator God who has power to help. I trust the Savior God who cares enough to rescue me. 700 years after this prophecy is written, the wait is over. The Son of God came. He died in our place for our sin, rose to be our Savior, and that is good news. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 tells us that that same power that God exerted to raise Jesus from the dead is available for us today, not just after we die, but for day-to-day challenges of people who trust in him. And so the resurrected Christ provides both hope for eternal life in Christ tomorrow and strength for life in Christ today. Now look, you can keep trying to overcome your sin and your circumstances through sheer willpower. But isn't that what got you so run down in the first place? So instead of trying to run up a ladder of human effort and limited strength, we can run down to Jesus in our dependence, in our confidence, to trust and treasure the sovereign Savior so that he can lift us up to soar as it describes in this passage. You see, some of us are in a season where the circumstances are too big. The chasm's so wide, we're headed over a cliff. There's nowhere to go but down. But Jesus says, trust in me, turn to me, and I will lift you up on wings like eagles to soar. Some of us are in a season where we need to run. Your life is filled with stress and busyness, and it's enormous, and you're not sure how you're going to keep up. But Jesus helps us run and not be weary. And some of us are in a season where we need to slow down. You're exhausted, but you can't ignore the responsibilities of daily life. And you're barely dragging your feet forward one at a time. Jesus helps us walk and not be faint. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus waves away our problems and our pressure. What it does mean is that he gives us strength to walk and run and soar over the wind and waves that are wearing us down. I don't know how many of you are familiar with what an albatross is, albatross, seabird. Did you know that an albatross can actually circumnavigate the globe in 46 days? That's the next slide, Pedro. In other words, an albatross can travel about 10,000 miles in a single journey, almost without expending any energy. It's pretty amazing. They stay aloft without flapping their wings. Whether the wind is going with them or against them. How do they do that? It actually confounded scientists for quite a number of years till they figured out and discovered the process that's called dynamic soaring. You see, this is what they do. When a strong wind comes towards them, instead of resisting it and flapping harder against it, they angle their wings in such a way to catch the wind, and it causes them to accelerate upwards, soaring up to 30 to 50 feet in the air. And then, after they've soared up against the wind, they turn. And as they turn, they ride the wind, going the same direction as it to gain additional speed, swooping downwards close to the waves. And by repeating that method, going up and down, up and down with the wind. They can travel thousands of miles without flapping their wings, without expending energy, without getting run down. It reminds me of one of my close friends and brother, Noel Esper. I asked him if I could share this story, and we remember a time together that after his wife Christy's latest hospital stay for last stage cancer, as he was taking her home and observing her over that week, seeing his wife's health decline, feeling the steep learning curve of taking care of someone so independent for so long for the first time, and the daily grind of the responsibilities. You all tell me he started feeling quite overwhelmed. He felt he was losing himself and that he was being completely worn down. And like the tough guy he is, he tried to bottle it up until he blew up. And during that moment, his friends and family were unable to calm him or console him. And so in a panic, his sister-in-law gave me a call and asked if I could pay an emergency visit to their family. So I'm rehearsing a script in my mind, thinking about how do I need to pray for this brother, what kind of words of encouragement, what are the scriptures that he needs to hear. But before I even got there, Noel had turned to Jesus in prayer. By the time I arrived, the rage had cleared. The peace of God was reigning. What happened? Let's call it dynamic story. You see, right when the wind of circumstances were blowing their fiercest against him, Noel angled his wings upwards in prayer. And it boosted him upwards towards Jesus, and he experienced a lift in his spirit by far greater than his circumstances. And then he turned and rode the wind of Jesus' presence and power to walk, to run, to soar over the waves again. Where do you need a lift this morning from Jesus? Are you bold enough and humble enough to run downwind towards him? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you and come and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He invites you to experience the ability to walk and run and soar. And we gather here today because we believe in the resurrection. We hang on to the promise that that same resurrection power that kicked out the door on a borrowed tomb, that raised Christ from the dead, that upset all of history, that turns the world upside down and turns our lives right side up, has come to us today. And it's available to people like you and I who are humble enough to ask Jesus and his strength to come into our lives, who by faith take a step and open ourselves up to the power of God. Cynics will tell you it'll never happen. And I want to say to you that greater things have happened on this day. So if you've ever felt knocked down and run down, the message of Easter is for you. That Jesus got up from a grave today, and by his grace, you too can get up and go to the Father and be renewed by his strength. So that instead of being run down by life, you can run down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who came down to earth, was raised up from death, and can lift you up too. This is why we look forward to Easter. We gather to remember the only hope that can sustain the human heart through it all. People haven't gathered the past 2,000 years to say the stock market has risen. It's risen indeed. People haven't gathered to say my grades have risen or the value of my home has risen. The one hope that has held people across every nation, every culture for two millennia is that in difficulty and disease, in pain and in poverty, in hardship and even facing death itself, Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He's good. And he's God, he's gracious, and he's generous. That's why we're so into Jesus and why we love him so much. And so I want to ask you, do you want to leave here the same way that you came? What if, instead, you could ask for the resurrection power of God to breathe life into those areas where you feel run down? What might it be like if you were to pray for help and actually have Jesus answer you today? We're going to give you that opportunity to come before the risen Christ and maybe receive something from Him that you've needed for a very long time. And so I'm going to ask you just to take a moment and maybe pray and just tell Him that thing mentally, relationally, spiritually that's running you down. And I dare you to be bold enough and humble enough to ask for His help, declaring, I need You, Lord Jesus, to be Lord and Savior over this area and over every area of my life. And for some of you, it comes down to whether or not you've really asked the risen Christ to pay for your sin, to be the leader over your life. Maybe you could begin the miracle of an eternal and abundant life now. Some of you need to make the most important decision of your life on the most important day in history. Then we're going to wrap with a song, and you can walk out the door, but you'll leave knowing this Easter that you trusted God for something. You asked by faith for His resurrection power to come into your life in a very specific way. And may I tell you, greater things have happened